Greetings, this is James Gillen. I'm your host on As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got a great show tonight. It's quite a challenge here. I've got backups upon backups here to make sure, because we get so much interference, and still we had a lot of interference getting the show going, but we're up and running, and Godspeed, and everything holds together here. We can continue on this show. I want to do a little heads up. Don't forget about the Soul Tech. It's going to be awesome. I don't know if it's sold out yet. It may be, but that's the upcoming conference. I think it's August 8th it starts, but go to eCityEvents.com, and you can find out more about Soul Tech. Amazing speakers coming. Crazy activity in the sky right now. We're just getting a lot of UFOs flying around, and you know, it's pretty amazing. And you know, speaking of UFOs, we're going to have Clifford Mahudi, and we're going to hear about the ancient Zuni traditions and other Native American traditions and their connections with the Star Nations. And, you know, it was an amazing event. He was just here as a speaker at our regular conference, and he did some ceremonies, and just amazing. The energy that came in was off the scale. And these guys have the real information, the ancient knowledge. And they've held on to that knowledge for many, many years. And it's a great honor to have them on the show and have them share some of that knowledge. So without any further ado, Clifford, are you with us?
I'm here. I'm glad to be on the show.
Yeah. You know, there is so much going on. I wanted to talk a little bit about you're just here at the conference. I'd love for you to get your take about some of the energies that you experienced here, some of the things you saw, and you know, just get your take on what's happening here at the ranch.
Well, I was there last week at transportation, and when I first got there, the next morning I woke up and I went out to the breakfast hall, and one of the things that really affected me was the energy that just like hit me when I walked out of my little shelter there. And it's one thing that I haven't felt in years. And I thought it was me at first, and then I just started walking around there, and it was just the energy was everywhere. And that's the first reaction that I got, is that there's really good energy there. And also the night before, I heard a lot of different noises, which is not common out here in the Southwest. So I was told that some of the visitors there, that they had some type of interaction with Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And so I think that was also one of the reasons that energy was quite heavy or nice in a way.
Mm-hmm. I think they're coming to say hi to you. I know the two brothers that were here had an amazing encounter, and they're going to send us a video. I guess they're going to tape themselves and talk about the encounter and send it to us. But, you know, it turned his whole life upside down. The energy exchange and having that contact with Bigfoot, he said he's never felt anything like it. And, you know, I love when people's realities get shifted, you know, in a big way.
Oh, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
I know the prayer that you did, the opening ceremony, the prayer, I was standing behind you, and I like what you said, you know, we stand behind the spirits, you know, and so I made sure I was standing behind you, you know, and I was kind of had my head down doing prayer, and I could see, like through my third eye, I could see the shields coming in, these bright green orbs and the elders, and the energy was incredible. So, you know, I can't thank you enough for holding on to those prayers and invoking that energy for everybody else to experience and the protection. You know, that's how I tell, you know, there's a lot of people can say a lot of things, and I always go by the energy, what kind of energy they carry and what can they do, you know, energetically. You know, there's a lot of shamans out there and things, you know, but you're one of the people I believe is the real deal, and really honored for you to come to the ranch.
Well, you know, when I opened the session with a prayer, And I think I advise the group there that in our way, that's what we need to do, is to open up all the channels, so to speak, and open our hearts up to the, especially the star people. And we also invite them to teach us through their, through our hearts about what is happening and what they have in store for us, and also the blessings that always is welcomed by all the people on the planet. And we do this in Zuni at all religious activities, how big or how small, it doesn't make any difference. And the prayer basically says that we talk to the ones that went before us, also the demigods, the guardians, the lookers, and then eventually the other groups, like the high priestess of all the different groups, like the star people group, the night people group, and also on the planet itself. And not only that, but also the interior earth people. We also ask them to come and be with us, but we are at their feet, and there we are behind them. And so that's basically what the prayer is about, so we can have our exchange through our hearts and for them to provide us with their knowledge and also with their gift. So that's basically what it was. And then people tell me a lot of times that a lot of different things appear. Some of those that have the ability to see, they said that there's a whole bunch of people that will be in the auditorium or meeting place or whatever. And so they say that they see different types. Even little children, the elders, and so they tell me after the session or after the conference or whatever, and I say, well, this is what we ask them to do, to be with us. So that's what that opening prayer was about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing, the kids here. We have a lot of kids here this weekend. And a really good group of people. And last night, the door opened on the mountain, and it was massive, a massive bright blue light lit up right in the middle of the mountain. And then there's lights popping all over the mountain. And we had a lot of ships coming in. And I know when you did the prayer and you did the drumming out in the Skywatch field too, you know, the same thing happened. We had a beautiful, it looked like a plating ship came in. It was kind of a pink-orange ship came in and flew right over our heads right after the chant and the drumming. I thought that was, a lot of people go, oh, that was a coincidence. And I said, well, you know, it happened, you know, right after the chant and the drumming. So, you know, you got 24 hours in a day for that to happen. Why did it happen then? You know, so, you know, we get the skeptics up here, but, you know, but we just, eventually they figure it out. You know, there's just too much going on.
Well, that's fine, too, because that's part of their awakening. So I think that once they have a glimmer of that, or a glimpse of that, then they start to think, especially through their heart. And this is what we ask them of our what we call the upper world people, to tell them and to be with them so that they can understand themselves. So that's what we ask them to do.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of ships that have come in, and we've had scientists out here very skeptical, and they're trying to say they're all satellites, and they haven't done their own research, and they're not in their heart, you know, so they can't feel what's going on. And I had one scientist here standing out here, and he says, you know, if I see one turn and go back the other way, I'll be a believer. And right after he said it, the ship stopped and it turned and went back the other way. So, you know, kind of turned his world upside down. I told him they can hear you. You know, they're telepathic. They can hear you.
You know, yeah, so he. Yeah, it's not even instantaneous. It's the same. When you're thinking, there's no time interval involved. It's just like the energy from the sun to the earth, there's no time interval involved at all. mechanics come into play. So that's, so yes, I've had a lot of audiences like that, but some of them actually even turn around, especially the scientist group.
And,
they're very hard to convince until they have their own experience.
So
that's a lesson for them.
I've had people here. This one guy came here, and he was. It was funny because he was a Mormon, and he was also a scientist, and he was a principal of a school, and he was really, you know, locked into social consciousness. And his two sisters brought him up here, and he called the woo-woo sisters, you know, that they're into all the woo-woo stuff. And he had a broken wrist while he was here, and so he was sitting out in the field, and we showed him the orbs and all the light spears flying around, and that kind of blew his mind. And then a big triangle ship came in, flew right over him, and that blew him out of, you know, that freaked him out again. And then I told him, I said, you know, your wrist is broken. Why don't you offer it up? Ask them for help. And, you know, he didn't really answer, and he was just sitting out there. And so finally he did. He said a little prayer. And his wrist was fractured from a motorcycle accident. It was really messed up. And all of a sudden, his wrist was fine. He couldn't believe it. And he went to the doctor, and they x-rayed it. And he said it was like it never happened. You know, I think they beamed him up and did a little repair work on him. But he's a major believer now.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those cases.
Yeah. What are some of the experiences that you've had, you know, with the star people?
Well, I've had experiences with them since probably as far back as I can remember. I guess maybe about, maybe whenever you start knowing things about 5 years old or better, or somewhere in that area. Because in our world, we never really looked at age as a factor in time. So I always used to have, I used to be by myself a lot of times. And I would see a lot of things in the sky, and I thought, you know, that these were falling stars at first. But our ancestors have always known about them for thousands and thousands of years. So the immediate thing that they teach kids in the Zuni, especially in my generation, is they tell the kids not to look up at the sky at nighttime. And that was one of the teachings. You do not look at the sky. And the other thing, too, that we were taught was that you do not start counting the stars. And I don't really understand that, but I think it's just a control measure that you're not ready to be exposed to those things. So it's a guardian situation until you get to the different orders, and then they open up the knowledge. You might call it sacred knowledge, but not secret knowledge, because they do a lot of allegories. For example, like when the Kachinas come to dance at the villages, and the UFO activity will happen. But when the little guy asks his father or mother, he said, how do the Kachinas come to our room? He said, then the immediate answer to all of them is that they come back, they come to Zuni to dance, and they come on the backs of ducks. Well, so the kids know what ducks are. So they said, oh, okay, and that's the end of that. Until you find out later on is that when you go into the orders and that knowledge is given to you, up to that point, the kids will always tell the other kids, or they talk among themselves, and they said, did you know that the Kachinas come on the back of ducks? And the other kids will say, yeah, that's what my grandfather told me. So it's a common thing that the teaching process was really oriented, and it carried on to generations, but at certain levels. So when it comes down to far, or rather UFOs and lights in the sky, you got to look at it in ways of in two ways. First of all, is their orb, and they call them what they call a Japanese really, which means it's a mist that flies in a ball type thing. And but there's also a negative on that. If you see fire in the sky or maybe a red orb or red saucer, they're telling you that one of your family members has either died or is dying or will die. So that's why it's very hard to even look at things, and you can't get away from it. So there's a lot of different tribes that have that type of interpretation also. And also including the indigenous people all over the planet. We have our taboos, we have our superstitions, but they're also given that information by the guardians and the keepers. And in Zuni, we call them the path, our pathway workers. And above that is what we call them the raw people. The raw people are supernatural beings, including aliens, EBTs, ED, extra-biological entities, and so other animals, they also belong to the raw people group. So I did a lecture on that one time, and it also includes Bigfoot. That's why they can be walking down there, and they say that on the snow, and all of a sudden the track stops, and there's nothing around there anywhere, and they went into different dimensions, higher dimensions. Same way with other entities that come in into our realm, the 3D, 4D world, and when they're disturbed, then they automatically go back into their dimension, higher than the fifth, and put up to whatever dimensions that they're talking about nowadays. So these are the things that occur, and in our system, we have always known about it for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody asked me a question yesterday, and I answered to the best of my knowledge, but I've seen these white orbs, these bright orbs, you know, flying around where Bigfoot seems to appear. And I also saw a female Bigfoot 50 feet away, walking right in front of me, and she just phased out and disappeared, you know. And there's no way she could have hidden behind anything, or I was looking right at her, and she just, you know, phased out. And I've always believed that, as you're saying, they can go into another dimension or phase out from this dimension. But have you heard anything about them traveling as like a light sphere or an orb?
I never really have any encounters like that, but I do know because I took some pictures at Cottonwood, Arizona. It's been about 3 or 4 years ago, and then taking pictures of orbs. I mean, the bigger orb that we filmed, there was an ET looking out of that orb. So they can also, in my interpretation, is that they can also use those to transport themselves. Especially the bigger ones, along with the little tiny ones that are there. And the tiny ones contain the little guys. Maybe a lot of people have been taking pictures of fairies now. What has happened in recent years is that the digital camera technology, prior to that, you cannot even do that with a regular film. Remember back when we used to use 35 millimeters? You can take the same picture of that and take the same picture of the same sky with a digital camera, and you can pick up more than what the 35 millimeter would pick up. So, of course, they don't process those anymore. So this is what I have personally encountered or have experimented with.
Yeah, I guess some of the, what's the, I guess they have a lot of different reasons that people say when a Bigfoot appears to you or something, they usually are carrying a message, some kind of a message. According to your tradition, what does it mean when a Bigfoot appears to you?
Well, then it's not to you directly. That's why I remember in Bigfoot cases, they usually throw little pebbles, and then it becomes bigger rock, and then it becomes bigger tree limbs. So what it is that you're in their territory. I've had a lot of people from my tribe, even relatives, that have encountered those, and I have encountered it on these three occasions, had experiences with them, but they always warn you that if you don't leave, then they'll come around. And if you see them during the daytime, you'd think that you saw them, but they just disappeared.
Yeah.
And I used to say that, well, they went beyond that molecular curtain, which is one molecule thick, and they're in a different dimension already.
Yeah.
So, but they'll look at you from the outside. I mean, they look at you when you're outside, but you can see them looking into them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very curious. Here we have ones come down, and I think they're attracted to the energy, and they're very curious, and they like to, they pick people and choose people who are more spiritual or more heart-centered. And we see that a lot happening here. But I know where some live, and I walked into their territory accidentally, and I ran into a big male, and he started breaking limbs and stomping, and he made it very clear, you know, that we had to leave. And I just got out of there. I went back and did a prayer and a meditation, and I went back and made an offering and apologized and left. But, you know, your phone is really breaking up. I don't know if it's me or on your end. Are you still with us, Clifford?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that sounds better.
Okay, I is a little away from my mouth.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I was getting all this feedback, but that sounds good. But I notice they seem to be very interested in children and people of pure heart, but most humans, they just stay away from. They don't want to deal with them at all.
Who stays away from them?
Well, I've seen that the Bigfoot up here, they, they're curious. They come down here because of the energy and the spiritual work we're doing and ceremonies. And they're very curious, and they come down and they actually interact with people. And there's a young one, I guess he breaks all the rules, but by nature, most of them don't want to interact with humans, and they're pretty shy, and they just don't want to deal with humans. Have you noticed that?
Yes, that's why they try to prevent you from. They actually try to be nice. You know, you say you're in my territory, get out of here by throwing you little pebbles. And but if you don't pay attention, then they'll start getting into bigger things. And we've had that encounter when we used to go hunt near the Gila Wilderness in New Mexico. There's a whole bunch of them out there.
Yeah, they had some loggers that were in their territory here, cut on the reservation over here on the Yakima Reservation. And they're starting to cut trees down in their territory, and they got pissed, and they didn't throw little pebbles. They threw 50-gallon drums of diesel. You know, they picked them up and threw them on top of the trailer that they had there, and they went running out of there, and they took a giant, big metal choker that the chains go through, and picked it up and threw it and hit the tractor. And the big bulldozer there, and smashed the whole engine of it. But there are times when they will get a little defensive of their territory.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm gonna be up there at the Chihuahua, Washington, where they got that secret conference put on by, what's his name, Kiwani Lepsoridis.
Oh, yeah.
So they tell me about some of those encounters, and actually it's really a interaction between the people and the Bigfoot families. So that'll be my first trip up there, and I'm very interested, you know, in how they react when they're, you know, it's a spiritual type approach. So I'm looking forward to that. So I can get firsthand information and hopefully an experience of how they interact when they go into the spiritual. Is it actually just a conference communicate with Bigfoot? So that's so that'll be a good experience for me.
Yeah, this next time you come up here, maybe we can go up to, I know where they hang out, but I'm not sure. I'm kind of leaving this one alone because he's a really big male and he doesn't really want us to be there. You can tell he made it pretty clear. So I just leave him alone. I don't even tell people where it is. I keep it a secret, but if you're here long enough, the other ones will come and see you, you know, and they'll leave little rocks at your door and things like that. they do that quite a bit. Is there any?
We talk to them through our prayers, so hopefully that will be a way to get them to calm down. Of course, they know everything.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we felt, when we went into their territory, we were on a canoe and we went out to this far corner where this waterfall was to check it out. And all of a sudden the hair on our arms started standing up and I just felt this energy like get out, you know, coming at me. And I said, you know, we're not supposed to be here. You know, we need to get out of here. And then I could hear the stomping and breaking branches and I knew what that was. And I said, but they didn't say anything. He didn't holler or do their calls or anything. Didn't say anything. Just made it really clear. And so we left. But you can, you know, feel them, and they can feel you. They know where your heart is. They know all about you. So it's
absolutely.
Yeah. That's why they like the kids.
They in the category. What the Zuni people call raw people, uncooked, and they all belong to that group, like the ETs and the Bigfoot. And the Bigfoot is actually comes to the domain of the inner world. And when they come up, you know, they sort of like, when that's why they put all those little, remember those little, look like little pants using the tree limbs, and they actually sleep in those things, and when they're up there collecting, so that so there's a lot of things that occur when they're up on the surface. They also go into the interior of the of their earth. So because they're multidimensional, I guess they can go anywhere.
Take control of your water with the new ProPure Whole House Filtration System. The ProPure Home removes chlorine and up to 220 plus additional contaminants with ProMax Full Spectrum Filter Technology for truly great tasting, clean, and refreshing water. Order a ProPure Home today and receive a free pre-sediment filter, a $79.95 value. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com for details. Rethink what's in your water.
Now, what other kind of little creatures have you seen? I know up here we have this small little, I don't know what it is. It's a little, it's like a little furry, but it's smaller, and they're really fast. They run really fast, and we saw them up on the mountain, and we also see the stick, we call them the stick people here, but they're really small little people, and they always have bundles of sticks, you know, on their back. And there's another creature that the tribal police up there and the gate guard have seen, and it looks like Yoda, but it's yellow. And they said, don't look at it. If you see one of those, don't look at it, walk away, just, you know. And do you have any of those different types of beings that you've experienced?
Well, I have never experienced, but other people have. And we have in our whole history, spirituality, that there are, those little beings that are the furry ones.
Uh-huh.
The closest reference would be like a woolly dustball is what the name is, Zuni's name for that. And they roll around. They look like they roll around.
Uh-huh.
You know, like they're on rollers. They're not.
Yeah.
They don't have any feet appendages. They look like they just roll back and forth. But those are the ones that usually come out when there's disturbances in the earth, or rather the surface of the earth, like when they're doing mining or explosions, that they come out. And then there's the other group that it's all in our history also, is that there's actually Pachina gods that are little small people. They come out once in a while. There's one that there's a hill in front of my house in Zuni. They're the little black guys that come during the Pachina dances. Of course, Pachinas are just a representations of ETs. So my friend that was there visiting me, he was writing books. He was was writing books on spirituality, and he actually encountered one of the guys that live in a little hill, no more than 100 yards from the front of my house at that time. Mm. And so a lot of beings like that are seen by many people, but they're actually harmless because when you disturb their their home or around their home, that's why they come out and sort of like telling you, get away from here, this is our yard, or this is my territory.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why they encounter those things. And I've had the close relatives that one of them got in the car wreck, and the car fell on top of him. It's one of those Chevrolet Blazers, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he was stuck on the he was stuck by the truck. And there was I think there's four of them that came out from the mountain. And these guys had little green eyes, and they were walking around. They actually lifted that off of him, the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he got up, he was angry, or maybe he was something happened. And he was trying to kick those little guys, but he said that his boot went through his through those beams and never hit anything until about sometime this. There was another beam that was a little smaller than, bigger than them, came out, and that guy had I believe he had red eyes. And he sort of like told him to cut that out, get back in here. He was telling me that, he said, you know what was real funny? He said, they went into the lava rock. So there's lava up there.
Mm-hmm.
The road comes down. So there's a lot of information that is among the tribe for, like I say, thousands of years. And we know about those things, so we respect them. When they're shrines, we have shrines for them. We have sacred places that they, I know that they're there, and we don't disturb anything that is around there until the archaeologists and the anthropologists and the pot hunters started taking those away, and that's when they got mad.
Yeah.
So when you get into those places, you have to really be careful. I think this is what happened to Bigfoot because of the logging activities and mining activities, where they started dynamiting, especially caves.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's hundreds of stories about those, especially up in the Northwest, you know, where they would come and pick up their, like you say, gallons of 55-gallon drums of fuel, start throwing them around and tearing up their trucks. So they can do that.
Yeah.
And it's happened on our reservation also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, if you're not going to be respectful. And, you know, what happened is the elders up here told the loggers that they had to quit and they had to go pray for 2 weeks and be in solitude and ask for forgiveness and, you mm-hmm. know, and make peace. And so, I don't know if they did it or not, but, I would definitely want to make peace with Bigfoot. I would not want a Bigfoot that could appear anywhere, anytime, pissed off at me. That would be the last thing I'd want to have happen.
Well, there's, you know, in the medicine world of the Zuni, when somebody mm-hmm. comes out with an illness or whatever, they can actually find out what that person did. And they would tell them, okay, here's what you need to do. And you got to make amends. You have to go back there and do just like an apology. And you have to do certain rituals. And sometimes maybe the medicine man will go with him for protection and to make sure he's doing it the right way. And mm-hmm. this is, you know, there's thousands and thousands of places now that have been violated by since whenever, what, 1492 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those were destroyed. So they don't have their shrines or their sacred areas anymore. Some of them had to make temporary places, and so they make them angry. Destroy the land, especially the sacred site. And mm-hmm. I think I talk about those places where the federal government made them national parks, national monuments, and mm-hmm. made to avoid to keep the Indians away from their sacred places, and also that I think that they're trying to do a lot of research on those things. But they know what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's amazing that it's like unthinkable that they would keep you from anywhere. I mean, you know, it's like, I think your claim supersedes any other claim. You know, you were here first, you should be able to go wherever you want to go. And I just, to me, it's beyond me why they think they have the right to do that, you know, but, you know, might makes right. And if you got the gold and the guns, you can do whatever you want. But I think that's going to be coming to a close here pretty soon.
Well, I think that it's turning real fast, and the time is compressing because of that type of activity that the discoverers of this land, that's kind of a misnomer, you know. What did they discover? We were already here, or my ancestors were already here. And mm-hmm. so they took care of the land, they took care of all the different, they actually communicated with those things, what we might call Bigfoot or ETs or little fairies or those little guys that are about anywhere from 16 feet to about 2 feet tall. And mm-hmm. remember when we did that interview with the guy from Australia?
Oh, yeah.
Remember uh-huh. talking about the same thing that I talked about, is the same thing that they're with the Aboriginal people in Australia. The stories are the same.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, the origins, they all point to the Pleiades, and they said those were the first colonies that they remember, but they said there's actually beings that came before that, and they have it recorded in rock, you know, in starglyphs and hieroglyphs and petroglyphs, but, you know, seems like beings have been coming and going for, you know, according to some of the research, like 600 million years.
Yeah, that's true.
And yeah,
when the Zuni talk about this is a fourth world, like the Hopi and the Zuni and others, they say mm-hmm. that when the land was still raw, they can walk on the earth, when, you know, just like soft clay. And, you mm-hmm. know, this has been proven many times in different places where the human tracks are right next to a dinosaur track. The same age, and they're millions of years old. So that's mm-hmm. That's proof enough. And what about those things that they encountered when they were doing like coal mining, like, you know, these ancient tubes. They were of such quality that they can cut through granite, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had diodes and electronic equipment. They found, you know, millions of years old and boot prints that crushed trilobites and things of that nature. When the first little creatures were crawling out of the ocean, you know, there was boot prints, people walking around on the planet.
Right.
Well, so
well,
it's
the latest thing that I've been working with is the archaeoplanetography. Because of the satellites, mm-hmm. they can actually make out human being features on different planets, I mean the continents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like especially out where you can distinctly see the type of people and different animals and mm-hmm. different formations. So that's in one of my presentations. And I'll probably show that in my next lecture somewhere, and then relate it to the other things that are happening right now.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel is going on right now? I'd love to hear your perspective. What we've seen now is there seems to be this major compression or time compression, but there's a lot of energies coming in. And people aren't doing too well with these energies. And I've seen a lot of people actually just losing it because they haven't, you know, healed themselves. And also other entities like crazy are jumping on people and acting out, you know, a lot of crazy stuff. So I was wondering if you've been seeing the same thing and if there is kind of prophecies around that.
Well, you know, I did not really get a chance to cover the prophecies and related to present things. Remember when I was over there?
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that is happening with the first thing you talked about is the compression of time. It's going at a logarithmic rate in terms of chaos and out of balance and all the frequencies mm-hmm. that affect the humans, the Schumann intervals and all that. And so what is happening totally in the whole universe is it's shifting. And the reason we cannot tell the difference between the time compression is because everything is related in the universe, or at least in our galaxy. So when the minute becomes less than a minute, all the electronics and the time of the planets are compressing, but the thing that's out of sync is the human being. The mm-hmm. human being has to adjust to it, and it's not adjusting fast enough, because basically a human being is an electromagnetic force system. We're electric and magnetic energy based upon the other systems of the magnetism, the Earth, and including those that are around Earth. And so when they don't adjust fast enough, and there's other entities that are coming in, which is generated by what I call the dark force people. And this is where the technology that are used wrongly is also complementing or enforcing and reinforcing the systems, especially the electronic crap that we have nowadays. You know, mm-hmm. that everybody's got a cell phone. Everybody's got junk in their houses. It also is manipulated by external dark force people to increase that rate. And so we're out of balance. The human being is out of balance. And with the rest of the fast-changing pace, so we're like always in the super. And if you include stuff like the chemtrails and all the GMO stuff, I mean, that also adds to it goes in the chaos of the body is now going at a logarithmic rate. All the fake pharmaceuticals that everybody has to take in your arms by law, all the pills that we take through our mouth, that also increases that chaotic behavior. And so the dark force people so it's going to be starting to shift. There's many, many factors that are happening. The kids mm-hmm. that are now being born is going to be one of the elite groups. Look at what's going on right now in the political, the scientific, even in the educational system world. Organized religion is also part of that homeless. So it's actually a combination of all those things that have really become a chaos factor in everything as far as it directly affects the human being. So that's why we have to go back into, remember in my presentation, the first thing that it needs to be fixed is the ecosystem. The ecosystem is just the things that we put into our mouths, and also to start looking at other avenues. And again, because of the non-interference of the star people, we're the ones that have to make that happen. And instead of using our heads, we got to use our hearts. So this mm-hmm. is what basic messages that I talk about. At these places, of course, it's something that the American Indians and Aboriginal tribes all over the world have known for millions of years. So that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard a lot of the yogis say that. They said the cure for cancer is sunshine, fresh water, pure water, and right food, and also right thinking. But they talk about that, and they said the reason we have so many diseases and everything is because our waters, there's something like 850 carcinogens in city water. And then you got the fluoride, and then you got the aspartame, and then you've got what's the sugar? All the different sugars that are just deadly. Everything. It's amazing how there's just been a full-blown assault on the human body, by these mega corporations, and people need to break away and start, growing your own food, filtering your, get fresh water and start thinking more positive. And I think that's the only way we can turn this planet around.
Well, that's what my priority is, to get back to nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we have enough people that are not waking up. But there's other things that have to be taken while we're doing that at the same time. And the best thing that could ever happen right now is for somebody to blow up those satellites and get rid of the banking system.
Yeah.
And then we'll all go back and on Earth and start respecting Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what, when I talk like this, it doesn't take any brains to figure that I just plain logic.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at what they've been trying to launch. They've been trying to launch all these intricate control systems and create a space net and everything. And their rockets keep coming down and blowing up, and they don't know why. And they've been warned over and over again. You know, we're not going to allow this. And they're spending billions of dollars of taxpayers' money to send up firecrackers, put a nice 4th of July show on for us. But, if they took that money and those resources and turned them back into humanitarian, funds and things like that, we could start turning this around. But I think I have a good feeling about it. I really think this is all going to implode. This whole draconian grid we've been under is going to implode. Yep. And the benevolent ones are going to start stepping in and create the big shift. It feels like that to me. It had to get really dark, and we had to experience this to a certain degree before we rise up and say enough.
Yeah, well, I think this is the reason why. I know that that's the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing right now. Is that I was thinking that I won't be around when the day comes, but it gets more and more every day that it will be happening within my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And the sooner the better.
I have a feeling. I have a Yeah. I have a strong feeling that we're going to see some big, big changes between now and November. And that's what I've been getting. And that it's not going to be the same world, you know, after November. It's as we know it, there's going to be so many changes. But, you know, I always say, you know, praise Allah, tie your camel, you know. So, you know, pray for the best, but prepare, you know, be prepared just in case, you know. So that's the way I look at things.
Well, the Hopi, the Zuni, and other Aboriginal tribes, they know that it's on schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it's gonna happen, and it's gonna happen real soon.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, unfortunately, Clipper, we're out of time. We're running out of time. I can't thank you enough for bringing your wisdom to the audience here, and I'm sure we'll be doing some work together really soon, and you're always welcome here at the ranch and on the show. If you ever want to come and talk about anything, you know, you have an open line here. And again, I can't thank you for the work you're doing, and keep up the great work.
Okay, excellent. Have a good night.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great evening. All right, we're out of time, folks, unfortunately. Clifford Mahudi, always awesome to talk to Clifford. He's always got some amazing input. And again, you know, stay in the heart, watch the skies. And, you know, there's one religion we can all practice, and it's called being kind to each other and being kind to the planet. And that's basically all we need to do. Just do that with impeccable integrity, and all will be well. Anyway, James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.
Take control of your water with the new ProPure Whole House Filtration System. The ProPure Home removes chlorine and up to 220 plus additional contaminants with ProMax Full Spectrum Filter Technology for truly great tasting, clean, and refreshing water. Order a ProPure Home today and receive a free pre-sediment filter, a $79.95 value. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com for details. Rethink what's in your water.